it is time to get a view from the south. He's in SoCal covering the Duck Men, who took out UCLA last night and hope to be selfish and not share the Pac-12 regular season title. They could win Saturday against USC. Catch his coverage in the Register Guard sports section. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Steve Mims underscore RG. We welcome in our friend Steve Mims. Steve, how are things down in Southern California?
No complaints, Steve, as you can probably guess.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's actually even sunny here. The first thing Alex said to me today was regarding the reaction of Dana Altman. As time counted down, he was kind of like, woohoo, you've been there for every moment he's coached this program. For a guy who's kind of nuts and bolts and buttoned down, that was about as animated and as excited as he gets.
Yeah, it was. You know, I didn't see that until I was watching the ESPN highlights afterwards. I thought the same thing. I thought, wow, they kind of caught him with a smile there. And, you know, I mean, certainly after wins and, you know, crack a smile, this and that, that was nothing too crazy. But I don't know if you saw there was a video out there from one of the assistants of him kind of jumping up and down with the players in the locker room. But in, you know, true Dana form, less than 5 minutes after that, he walked out. And the first thing I asked him, I said, do you feel like the champion? And, you know, he went into his, oh, let's not say that quite yet. You know, let's try to get this thing on Saturday. So he definitely had some moments of joy there, but he wasn't going to get too excited about it.
Yeah, I saw what you wrote. You quoted Dorsey and Benson and the coach. And while they're obviously excited that they know they're going to be the one seed, it seems like they really flipped the switch and now they're all about USC.
Yeah, it does seem that way. I'm sure today, you know, as I wrote, they kind of liked having the 2 days in between instead of just the old traditional, you know, one day, because gives them a day to, you know, kind of go through a walkthrough today and start looking at USC, but at the same time kind of rest up and, you know, enjoy the rest of the celebration from last night. Obviously, a bunch of guys are from down here, so I'm sure there's some family hanging around. So kind of gives them a day to do that and then tomorrow to kind of sharpen the focus on the Trojans. But, yeah, I mean, I think they, you know, when they talk about wanting to beat USC, it's to get the title outright. But at the same time, I think they realize they're, you know, playing themselves into almost a number one seed discussion at this point and feel like if they can kind of win this thing out here, they might find themselves in pretty uncharted waters in terms of where they can get into the NCAA tournament and where that could lead them.
All right, Steve, you've seen this program up and close and personal for a lot of years. There's been a lot of success. I'm just, as an observer, the way these guys interact, body language, plus the way they move the ball, does this team seem to maybe have that special kind of unity with how they play together?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I've never seen on the court any sort of, you know, dissension or anything. You look and see somebody, you know, throws the ball away and the other guy turns and kind of gives them a look. There certainly hasn't been any of that. And now let's face it, they haven't had the most adverse season in the world. They only lost back-to-back twice. But even at that time after, you know, the losing in the Bay Area, they talked about how it was on them and they knew what they needed to do to get it turned around and they were able to do it. Whereas if there was, you know, finger-pointing, that could have led to more, you know, losses in a row. So, yeah, it definitely seems like a group. I mean, just being around them, they seem to certainly all enjoy each other. You know, it's kind of a small group. There's, you know, really only 7 that play and 11 that travel. So it's, you know, a group that seems like they're pretty close and guys like each other. And so I think they have found kind of a combination. Now, some of that comes with, you know, they're finally putting together kind of recruiting classes back-to-back, which has some guys who've been around each other for a little while. And then welcome in the newcomers.
Talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. The first half last night, they shoot 36% overall. A lot of bricks from downtown. They're behind 10, 3 minutes to go. They finish strong, head into the locker room, cut it in half. They're down 5. How big do you think was closing out the first half like that and taking some momentum into the locker room?
Yeah, I thought it was just because, you know, I mean, 5 points isn't a huge deficit going into halftime. I think if you look at 10 mentally, you can go into it and feel like, boy, if we don't, you know, get this thing going right away in the first 4 minutes of the second half, we could find ourselves down 15 and then suddenly it's over. Whereas if you're 5, you kind of go out there feeling like, all right, we're even and we just kind of outplay them for 20 minutes, we can get it done. And I thought that was kind of, I mean, to me last night, you know, it was kind of even for about 34 minutes, and I felt like, you know, it just seemed obvious to me that the last 6 minutes, it was the team that had something to play for, was the one that was out jumping the other one for rebounds and hitting shots and had a little bit more urgency. And that, to me, was the whole thing, was you could just kind of tell at the end, it was like one team was playing for a title and one team was playing, you know, didn't see much difference between being 6 and 11 or 7 and 10.
How about Tyler Dorsey? He had a heck of a game last night. I mean, 20 points, awesome. 9 rebounds for a guard, including a huge follow and putback. He went through kind of a rough patch of about 6-7 games where he wasn't shooting the ball well. Any of that maybe attributed to the proverbial freshman wall? And how jazzed was he after the game about putting on that kind of show in his hometown?
Yeah, he was pretty fired up. You know, obviously, it was the first time, and there were a lot of, I couldn't tell, I think there was a combination of him and Jordan Bell's family, because there were a lot of people kind of behind the Oregon bench, but it certainly looked like he had quite a few out there. And yeah, I mean, that was a big deal. You know, early, it was kind of, it was like early in the year. Early in the year, he was able to get some open looks, and then once they got to Pac-12, he talked about how teams would kind of start going out a little bit more. And UCLA started last night in the zone, and Dorsey was just able to kind of, you know, if they moved the ball around quick enough, they could get it to him in a pretty good spot. And once he hit, I think, 3 in the first 6 minutes, you kind of knew he had it going, and then they came out a little bit, and then he was able to drive to the basket. He also had 9 rebounds last night, which is, you know, pretty unreal considering the fact that you're having to bang against guys like Parker and Welch and those guys to get 9, and a couple of those, including a big one late, were putbacks.
Talking with Steve Mims on the line from SoCal. So this week, here's what we've been discussing. We've seen a lot of great athletes here, Freddie Jones, Scales, Carlos Emery. But with Dorsey, Cook, certainly Dylan Brooks, how rare is it? I mean, we've never really seen a Duck team with guys who, not on alley-oops or fast breaks or perfect passes, who can actually take defenders off the dribble and finish at the rim with dunks.
Yeah, there is certainly an interchangeable group. You know, you look at it, you think, well, they only really have kind of 2 guards and 5 bigs that they play, but you know, last night we saw they played Boucher and Bell together a little bit, which they haven't done a whole lot. And we've seen times when, you know, they'll go Dorsey to the point and run 4 bigs out there. It's really been, they've had to do it just because once Ennis went out, you know, their kind of roster makeup changed a little bit and they had to become more interchangeable. But we've seen that, you know, if you can put a Dwayne Benjamin, Elgin Cook, Dylan Brooks all on the floor at once, you may not have, you know, a big body in there in the middle, but yeah, you got guys that can get by everybody and they can get out in passing lanes and get some steals and force some turnovers and do other things.
Final thought. When they went to the Bay Area and got swept, they got punished on the boards. Then in the last 4 wins, they've easily won the rebounding battle. It's almost like they flipped a switch. What have the guys said about that turnaround and maybe how much of a focal point it's been to, you know, crash the boards, kind of a focus feature?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, they looked and, you know, they were out rebounded by, you know, 20-some-odd down the Bay Area, you mentioned. But, you know, when they lost that game to Oregon State, they were out rebounded by about 8 in that one, I think. I think Colorado got them by 13. I mean, if you look at the common denominator between their losses, it's been not just getting beat on the boards, but getting beat by 8, 9, 10, something like that. And so I think, you know, that makes it a pretty easy teaching point for Dane Altman to say, look at these, you know, here's the wins, here's the losses. What do you see is the difference? Certainly the Cal Snapper one was one because they got so beat on the boards down there, and it resulted in, you know, the first back-to-back losses that I think it made it easy when he went in the next day and said, look, you want to kind of find the one kind of magic potion for us that leads to wins, it's the rebounding. And you're right, they've rebounded their last 4 now by about 40, so about 10 a game. And I mean, last night's ridiculous. I mean, you know, rebound UCLA 22-9 in the second half, and you know that they've got, you know, Parker and Welch and Bolden. But like I say, I think so much of that was just one team really having a lot to play for, and UCLA didn't look like they had too much reason to jump up for some of those rebounds.
You can catch his work in the Register Guard. Go registerguard.com. Follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at @SteveMims_RG. Always great stuff. Appreciate the time, my friend. You travel safe, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy. Steve Mims of the Register Guard, live on the scene in Southern California.